WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse, with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade, gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast here on Christmas Eve. For those that are celebrating, that's when you're listening. Happy holidays to all of our wonderful listeners. AJ Myers, alongside Griffin Bloomstein. Josh Rothard is back after his bye week. Everyone gets a bye week. And college sports, college football, you get two bye weeks. Football, you just get that one. Everyone's back home. It's the holiday seasons. I was just out shopping a little bit. It was crazy. Griff, are you a last-minute shopper or a plan-ahead, get-everything-assembled before the holidays kick in?
I did my shopping, I wouldn't say, like, last minute, but, like, maybe week before.
Yeah, that's good.
So, like, solid. They didn't all come at the right times, though. So,
yeah,
like, it was,
tough.
Like, three different dates, and then I was like, all right, well, like... So, you know, we got the job done. Move on to the next, you know, and I feel like that's as good as you can get. Like, you can check that off your list. Like, hey, you feel good. You got a gifts. Like,
yes,
boost the soul and the morale. And then you wait 11 months until you have to do it again.
Josh,
for
what
me,
about you?
It's more of like when I get the urge, you know, like it's I have like an hour, like maybe, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, the day before and it's like, all right, now we really need to get a move on. You know, I think it's different every year, right?
Certainly. And for slipping over to the sports side on the Hill, Syracuse men's basketball finally handled a team. They beat Stonehill on Monday night, 77-48. Didn't go well for me. I did not have this team covering the spread solely based off of the fact that they had failed to do that against all these other non-Power 4 teams. But finally, the Orange, they take care of business, Griffin. But, I mean, there were still points in this game where I was watching. I was like, holy smokes, like Stonehill is making a ton of threes. They made 9. They went on a good run there. Syracuse, every time they went to the line, they couldn't make. No, I don't think any player made 2 free throws in a row when they went to a trip. Maybe Nathan George did, but 48% from the free throw line is brutal. Yes, that, you know, this was definitely the most comfortable victory of the season outside of those exhibition games, which don't matter. But, like, by no means was it, like, a breeze.
I mean, it was a 6-point game in the second half. It was an 11-point game with, like, 9 minutes left. And then Syracuse ended up winning by like 30, and it went on like a crazy like 30-6 run to finish off the game. And I think, you know, for people that might have turned off the TV a little early, weren't exactly happy with how Syracuse played, the final stretch of the game, I would say, was the most promising stretch of basketball that maybe I've seen this team play, not necessarily like against good competition or because they were playing hard, but because like everything went right. Like they were getting stops, they were getting buckets, and that's been the thing. Like sometimes they're getting stops, sometimes they're getting buckets. It hasn't been a lot of both at the same time so far this season, and that was promising to see. And I think like overall, like the team didn't play great. Like the second half was pretty good. I really want to see a full, complete game of basketball, and we've still yet to see that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at this game, like as a tune-up for the ACC, which it was, I don't think you can play as bad as Stonehill is. I don't think you can play a better second half heading into conference play. Stonehill had not one but two different spurts in the second half where they went 6+ minutes without a field goal. They made five field goals in the entire second half. Syracuse had that huge kill shot at the end of the game, 16-0 run to put the Skyhawks to tuck the Skyhawks into bed. I walked away from this game feeling more confident, regardless of what happened in the first half or what was going on in that first 4 minutes of the second half where they weren't really scoring. You know, this is another game where they miss more free throws than they should, and they still win by 30 points. So when you add in the fact that they can make 12, 13 more free throws here, this is a 40-point win, and I think this is a way different story. So I don't think you really look at it as, you know, this team could have done more. I know there was stuff they could have done more, certainly at the free throw line, but I think this is probably their best half of basketball they've played all season.
It was certainly a level five half, if you want to speak Coach Autry.
Okay, coach.
Yeah, literally language. Because I mean, you had what was 12 blocks? Like, that's impressive. Stonehill 15 turnovers. I know that all wasn't because of Syracuse. They were really sloppy with the ball throughout the game. Six steals. Like, there is no denying it. And I encourage everyone to listen to my conversation I had with Cooper Boardman. He really emphasized this, and I completely agree with him. Autry can coach defense. I mean, especially this offseason, he really honed in on figuring things out defensively. They haven't consistently done that. You know, look at Hofstra, look at Mercyhurst. Those were poor defensive displays, but they're, you know, that's something they got going. You know, going into ACC play last year, there was nothing going for this team. It was close wins to, you know, Youngstown State and everything, and, you know, poor performances in New York City and Brooklyn. You know, finally, there, you know, you feel like there's something kind of going for the Orange. But in terms of if you want to just assess how they performed in this non-conference slate, it wasn't any better really than last year, other than this Tennessee win. You get the one boost from beating the Volunteers, but then, I mean, this loss to Hofstra is really, really detrimental. Now, hopefully Hofstra stays high enough in the net that it stays quad three. It would be great if it even jumped to a quad two loss. It's weird how it works. You almost now you want Hofstra to be really good to make that loss look less detrimental. But Griffin, I mean, they didn't handle the lesser teams really, but that's what happened last year. They didn't handle the lesser teams either.
I would definitely say I disagree with you, AJ, on that. I think this was a much better non-conference than last year. It still wasn't a good non-conference, but last year's non-conference was awful. Like, awful. You went to double overtime with Youngstown State. You almost lost to Lemoyne. Like, at least, like, not handling means, like, not handling. They didn't handle the games after
Tennessee.
Vegas.
Yes.
But the games before Vegas were a little better. And you gotta still imagine we learned some news that Donnie is gonna be back most likely if things turn out the way they should against Clemson on New Year's Eve. So like that's promising. Like they played Houston close. They took down Stonehill by 30. I feel a lot better than I did at the end of non-conference play last year. I think that this team should be able to compete in ACC play. But going back to that Stonehill game, like there were some things that like Syracuse won by 30, but there's still a lot did not go right and a lot could be better. Like the bench played awful. Like the minutes the bench gave in that game were not good. Ibrahim Sowore, his play on the court is laughable. That three he took, that was the most mad I've ever seen Adrian Autry. More mad than when they almost lost to Youngstown State. More mad when they got blown out in the second half by Iowa State. More mad than they lost against Hofstra. Like Adrian Autry was visibly pissed. Like I thought he was about to slam a chair, like do some Rick Pitino type like antics on the sideline, throw like do something. Boeheim would like he was mad. He was visibly angry and ticked off. Immediately got Will Kyle onto the game, and then when everyone was on the bench after, and even Ibrahim Tsoy was like chuckling on the bench after he chucked that three up. Autry like went over and pointed at his face and like, and my interpretation of it was like, you do that again, you're not gonna play. And like Ibrahim Sowore, he's not look good. Like for a guy that played at the Power Five level last year, yes, I don't care he had three blocks. The fact that he got his first field goal a couple games ago is absurd and laughable. The fact that you have a guy on the court that is your backup big man with Donnie Freeman out, not being able to put the ball in the basket is absurd. He looks way smaller than he should be. He is not the level of player I think Syracuse thought they were going to get. Talk about the other people on the bench. I mean, the bench combined for 6 points in this game. Six. And two of them were Bryce Zepher in the final 3 minutes because they put in all their bad players. I mean, Kyan didn't really show up. Cheffing Diarra, shout out to that guy for playing like a solid 2 minutes at the end of the game and grabbing a couple boards because he might have been the biggest bright spot of the whole day from the bench. And as I go on this rant, like Tyler Betsey needs to figure out his stuff. The starting lineup was
Your guy.
saved him. Yeah, that is my guy. And he will be better, don't worry. But like
Ah.
as I close out this rant, William Kyle looks really poor on the offensive side of the ball. His defense was great per usual. But like if it weren't for JJ and Nate George, like this game could have been bad.
And credit to Nate George. Unnecessarily was me and Griff talked about this last week. Unnecessarily criticized. I thought
Yeah.
he's played great in the last two games.
AJ, what was that, dude? He just went scorched earth on Syracuse after they won by 30 points.
I didn't criticize him. I said
No, I'm
unnecessary.
talking about
Yeah.
Griffin. What is going on over here? Like, Griffin, what are you going to do when this team misses four free throws in the last 2 minutes against Clemson and gives away a game?
Well, on the end of the double overtime when against Houston, when they should have won that game, I said free throws were going to be the reason they missed the NCAA tournament. Like I mean, they went 14 of 29. And coach, we heard on the broadcast, if you weren't listening to AER, which I was, I turned on the ACC Network broadcast. Apparently, they were having them shoot 150 free throws. I heard that somewhere. 150 free throws after practice. Like, wait, that didn't show up. I mean, Syracuse still has a free throw problem. They still have other problems. There's still a lot of problems on this team. But, like, they're still winning. Like, well, they're back to winning. I don't know. I had to go on a little rant about the bench not showing up. But the starting five, hey, they did their job.
Well, I want to circle back because you kind of did a non-conference evaluation, so I want to give my thoughts. I think it's, you know, it's obviously a step up from last year because, like you said, I mean, there's been no outside of Hofstra, there's been no real setback. I mean, they beat Monmouth. I guess that's their Youngstown State game from last year. But I mean, the Tennessee win is honestly canceled out by the Hofstra loss. I mean, you have to look at it like that. They do themselves a solid by getting a quad one slash quad two win, whatever that ends up being. And, you know, they dig themselves a hole with a quad three loss at home. Like, when or if this team gets into a bubble conversation by actually winning some ACC games, which remains to be seen that they can do that. I mean, they're going to say, well, they beat Tennessee, but I think the Hofstra loss is going to be far more of a talking point than the Tennessee win.
I disagree.
I
I
don't
think
think so.
if you're a committee and you're looking at, all right, so I don't think you're looking at a Hofstra loss. I think you're looking at a Tennessee win. Like I think it's the win. And also like, yes, Syracuse had took care of their non-conference schedule for the most part last year. I mean, they lost to Georgetown at home, and Georgetown was not a good team
No.
last year. Like there were bad losses. Like they
Yeah.
lost to was it now. They lost to Florida State on the road by like 15 last year.
Well,
20,
that's not
20,
non-conference.
26.
Yeah, that's getting further into the season.
But still, like, that's if we're just talking about bad teams and Syracuse losing to bad teams, Syracuse lost to a lot of bad teams last year. Like,
They
those
lost
at
to
the end of.
Miami. Didn't they lose to Miami down in Florida?
Yeah, they did.
And Miami won seven games last year.
And that's, I think, the big thing. You know, looking big picture, you could hone in on this Hofstra and Tennessee. You know, conundrum all you want. The ACC is different this year. It's flipped the coin completely.
Virginia's
Last year in
ranked.
the ACC, you were hunting for quad one wins. You're not going to be hunting for quad one wins in the ACC anymore. Syracuse is going to have plenty of opportunities. It starts with Clemson on New Year's Eve. It's a quad two right now. That, again, that could switch, but even that is good. Clemson quad two is good. And then, I mean, you got some very winnable games right at the get-go.
Yeah, and the little Nate George revenge game right out of the new year.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
And Akir Suare, because I know Griffin loves him.
Yeah, we know who Griffin's guy isn't. But then, I mean, the end of the ACC is tough. That will decide if this team is tournament ready or not. The end of the ACC schedule. You know, assuming they get there with a good record, which they hopefully should, that, you know, from UNC all the way to Louisville is just, you know, that determines if you're going to March or not. That ultimately will be the deciding factor. And of course, you got to handle business before that. You can't slip up against Florida State, BC, or Pitt. It's that simple. And I think Griffin, you know, your Ibrahim Suare thing, maybe a little harsh. I don't know. I don't think he's been awful, but he definitely didn't have a good game against Stonehill. It is concerning, though, with William Kyle, if he does have an off game, where does Syracuse really go? Of course, if you have Donnie Freeman in the lineup, you could put a little action with Freeman and Sadiq White. I think that's something we maybe want to see a little bit more of. Didn't really get the chance to see it yet. You know, hopefully Donnie Freeman comes back fully healthy and then he stays healthy. I mean, that too is also going to be a major key if Donnie Freeman is healthy or not, because I don't think anyone's arguing that he's not the best player on this team. I know he's not perfect, but I think he's certainly the most talented guy on this team without a doubt.
I'm really curious to see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Ibrahim Suarez is out of the rotation.
Yeah.
Once Donnie comes back, you have Donnie play the five. Will Kyle takes the seat. And then Donnie goes to the bench for 2 or 3 minutes. Well, once he ramps back up 100% in the first half, he'll go to the bench for 3-4 minutes. Kyle will come back in. And then you can even play some Sadiq White at the four, Donnie at the five, and then eventually, like, get Donnie and Kyle back in there together.
So you think they're gonna start Sadiq over Will Kyle?
No.
I'm talking about once Kyle will come out before Donnie. Once Donnie is back up.
I was gonna be, you're good.
I mean, Donnie could be on a minutes restriction for all we know.
Yeah,
who knows.
For the first couple ACC games, and that will be interesting to keep an ear out for. But like I think eventually when Syracuse is getting into these games, like I think the bench will be playing a minuscule role. I think it'll be Anthony, Betsy, and White. Those might be it.
Who's your fourth guy? Do you have a fourth guy off the bench?
I don't think you need a fourth guy potentially.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to last year. I don't think Autry went too because last year he couldn't. I mean, there was literally
too many
depth last year.
But the injuries and there wasn't depth. You couldn't really go. I mean, you had to use the guys off the bench because JJ was out and Donnie was out and Jaquan Carlos was unplayable at times, even though he was your point guard. So I mean that's what it's gonna be. Like, I bet Suarez will give you 3-4 minutes if you need some presence. Because
they're a little
healthy.
Thin in up front. They're a little thin up front. They got plenty
they,
of
They
guard
are, on. But, like, I wouldn't say they're necessarily too thin. Because, I mean, Tyler Betsy blocked the shot and looked semi-competent guarding around the rim. I mean, and, you know, he's more of a wing player than an inside presence. But between Kyle, Donnie, and Sadiq, I don't hate what you got there for bigger guys. And, you know, Sadiq is still a freshman, and so he's a little less experienced guarding big men. But him at the four with Donnie and Kyle rotating in between the four and the five spot, I wouldn't be so mad that they're not too thin, I would say. Because then the other point is like, all right, is there a time where you have Donnie, Sadiq, Kyle and Betsy, three of those four guys on the court? Do you play big? Like, Syracuse hasn't had that luxury necessarily with Donnie out. You could have potentially three of those four guys on the court at the same time, and then you have three guys that are at least 6'8", 6'9".
I think, and I think you have to look at the fact that, like, this is a balanced team. I mean, Donnie's obviously going to be the best player when he's back, but right now, I mean, you're starting five. Starling's averaging 11 points. Kyle's averaging 10 points. Nate George is averaging 10 points. Nate Kings is averaging 10 points. And Sadiq is averaging 8. Kyan's averaging 10. So, like, you're getting a bulk of your scoring from no one. Like, it's all different every night. So the fact that you have five people that have shown they can be capable scorers, you did not have that last year. And that's what I was kind of getting on earlier in the year when JJ was kind of ramping back up, is it's good. I mean, it's good to have secondary options. And JJ finally broke out last night. He hadn't scored 20 points all year. He did it 10 times last season. So if we're going to get JJ ramped back up and these guys continue to score on a, you know, kind of an off night, on night basis, that's fine. You know, I think this team is going to win like that because they have people that can score.
And I think even more to that point, like now that we've seen Starling and George go off in the same game like that, and with Donnie coming back, that's only going to help guys like Nate Kings, who are going to be forgotten. You know, he had a couple threes yesterday, started off slow, and he sometimes does start off slow. I mean, but he went 3 for 4 from deep. If he's averaging 10 to 12 points a game, knocking down three threes, like that is a really big thing. Got teams are going to collapse on Donnie once he gets back healthy. Nate Kings is going to be open. The one thing that has been a little worrisome for Syracuse in the past couple of games is the assists number. And I know, like, that's like the numbers itself might tell a different story than the actual game. But like, Syracuse did not have a lot of assists yesterday. They had 11. You know, I think if teams have less than 10, it's going to be really hard to win games. But if you're sitting around that number of like Syracuse had 8 against Northeastern, 12 against Mercyhurst, 15
okay.
against Hofstra. What?
Well, you got to look at deeper than just the box score though, because I mean, did you see the end of the Northeastern game? I mean, they took 48 free throws.
But it's still deeper than that. Like, if Syracuse had 53 shots against Northeastern, 27 makes, they only had 8 assists on those 27 makes, that's less than a third.
Like, well, I feel like if you're watching the game, you see they're trying to get the ball inside, and you know those are open looks, and they're getting hacked. So I feel like that assist number is skewed because the fact that they shot 48 free throws.
Well, maybe they got to move away from that thing if they're going to shoot 70% from the line on a good
day. Well, I understand
that,
and I think these teams are – that is their strategy that they're deploying when they play Syracuse is if you get beat – if a guy gets past you, like, they're going to obviously foul because they know that's a 1 to 1.2 point trip for the Orange because they're not taking two on nearly any trip.
Syracuse, I think they have to get around that 15 number mark if they're going to confidently, like, play well and win. I think moving the ball it's so important. And you know, Nate George is one of the best in the country. Now that he's finding his groove, Donnie's going to be back, hopefully. Yep. Like, that's going to be the thing. I think Syracuse is going to pass the ball more. They're going to swing it. Like, Donnie's threat of passing from the low post, I think we're going to see a lot and try to hit these guys. Because when Donnie was playing, and Nate Kings and Tyler Betsy didn't have a strong start to the season shooting the ball. And I think we're going to see them be well more adjusted. And Donnie's threat of passing and scoring out of the low post is going to help this team.
I'm certainly excited to see what Nathan George has to offer in ACC play because he has that experience, something that Jake Juan Carlos. Now, it's funny. I know Hofstra beat Syracuse, but, you know, the CAA does not compare to the ACC in any way. So it's be exciting to see what Nathan George can help, how he can help this team in conference play. And I think with this being the last Ostrom Avenue podcast of 2025, it was a great year for the pod. Great interviews, great conversations throughout the year. Let's dish out our New Year's resolutions for this Syracuse men's basketball team. Griff, I'll start with you.
I mean, outside of an NCAA tournament berth, because I think that would be number one on, should be number one on all of ours. I'm going to go with health. I think that will be a big thing. No
That's
injuries, knock on wood. Stay healthy, keep all the guys on the court. And outside of an NCAA tournament berth, I think health is the big one right now for Syracuse.
Well, I mean, this might be the most obvious New Year's resolution of all time, but it'd be nice if Syracuse doesn't finish bottom one in the country in free throw. A benchmark here of maybe 63% in the new year. I think anything is really a step up. I think it should be on every single player's New Year's resolution list. Maybe shoot 150 free throws before you get up in the morning, after you get up in the morning, and then before you get to the facility. I mean, they should be shooting free throws 24/7, because it really will make this team better, and it absolutely kills their chances if they don't improve it drastically. That's my goal, and I know it's very simple and very basic, but it has to happen. It's free points, so I
Yeah.
mean, it has to happen.
That's what you need. Sometimes you need the simple New Year's resolutions. Mine is going to be for Adrian Autry. Just tell us what it is. Enough of this coach speak, enough of this level five energy, whatever clever little trinket, the orange zone. Like, it's cool, but I don't need it in every press conference. And the fact that he brings up level five every single, I mean, his opening statement every single time is, "We were level five. We weren't level five. We did level five here, but not there." Like, just drop that. Like, I know he's probably not going to, but just tell us what's going on. It's getting way too confusing trying to decode what he's trying to say. The one thing I appreciate with Fran Brown, I don't know, he wasn't super honest with the quarterback situation, but most of the time he is very honest with how things are. He tells it to you pretty straight. Adrian Autry, especially this season, has been very, very cryptic with basically every time he's gotten to the podium. So that's my big one, is just for Adrian Autry, just tell us what's going on. Griff looks like he's about to jump out of his chair.
I do want to say something. The more I've been thinking about it, and I don't know if this is just because like what we've learned from this football season,
I'm right with you. I know what you're gonna say
not to change the
too.
topic, but like Fran Brown, we always thought like he tells the truth. Like he says a lot. He says a lot of stuff, and he says a lot of facts or statements rather. I'm starting to think like what Fran Brown tells us is just like lies. Like, and I'm not calling Fran Brown a liar by any means, and I don't think this is where Josh thought I was going after all. I think Fran, like, he knows how to manipulate the media. And I think he knows, or he tries to cheat the system and tries to say stuff because he thinks we're gonna believe him. Because inherently, we do believe him, and we try to believe him because he seems like this truth-telling guy. But we've seen it multiple times. Like when Fran was like, "Yeah, Dan Villar is not gonna run the ball or line up in the Wildcat," and then the whole BC game was practically Dan Villar out of the Wildcat. When the whole quarterback situation was going down, "Oh yeah, Ricky's our quarterback. We're just bringing Steve in." Like, I think Fran like knows what he's doing. I think Fran's a little smart, too smart for what we're giving him. And I think next season we got to keep that in mind. Fran might not be telling the truth 24/7, but he might not be lying to us facetiously. He
A
might
big
not be
word there.
doing it with bad intentions. He might be doing it with good intentions for the team, if you know what I mean.
Okay, that's where I kind of got you right there. That's where I was more focused on the fact that everyone was critical of how he handled the quarterback situation. And I was gonna say, I mean, at the start you're like confused, but I mean, by the end of the season, like, dude, this quarterback room was awful. Like, I know it's not good to start a lacrosse player on Halloween against UNC, but I don't think we realize how bad the situation truly was.
I mean,
No denying. And, hopefully football can turn things around in 2026. Excuse me, because certainly 2025 was not the year for Fran Brown and Syracuse football. And they got some pretty bad news.
pretty
I think
awful.
this is a problem. Yasin Willis, we spent 2 years trying to figure out how to say his first name. God bless him. We don't have to worry about that anymore. He's gone. He's entering the transfer portal. He originally said he was staying. He was here. He gave that whole spiel. College athletes, I love them. I love covering them. They have difficult, they have a hard responsibility being in school and playing an athletic sport. But man, they are good at not telling the truth right from the get-go. They are good at changing their mind. And he has changed his mind. He is going into the portal. This is a problem. I mean, running back is now top of the shopping cart for the transfer portal because Will Nixon, it's interesting. He played his fifth year of college football. Now, his first year at Nebraska, he played in one game. He had one reception for 5 yards. I don't know if there is a sixth year out there for him. I'm assuming he did get that 2021 season ripped off. I don't know. Maybe they can, because then at Washington, he played in about every game. He played good volume 2 years at Washington. So I don't know if there's another year out there for him. But even if there is, Will Nixon's not running back number one. The Orange are going to need to find somebody in the portal. And I'm really sad because I love Yasin Willis. I thought he was dealt a difficult card last year because that offensive line wasn't that good. He never had a good quarterback to throw the football to him out of the backfield. Not that that really is his game, but I thought he had a ton of potential to be, the next really good Syracuse running back in a line that has really started to produce again. And this is definitely some difficult news for the team, Griffin.
It is difficult, and my opinion on this is kind of swaying. Last week we said that no Syracuse starters had entered the portal, and now we have our first one that did. But if you look at like the other running backs, like you mentioned, Will Nixon. I mean, who knows if he's going to get an extra year? Malachi James entered the portal. Jaden Hart entered the portal recently. Syracuse, I don't think has a single running back that played decent reps last season.
Tyreek Hill still here for now.
He was a freshman that got in because the offense couldn't do anything, and Fran Brown was like, I mean, I maybe Fran Brown didn't even know like who this person was, and was just like, he was just picking from the
Dude,
sidelines, just
you're on a
going,
heater today, bro.
yeah. I mean, I am not. No disrespect to Tyreek Hill because he showed some decent stuff, but like, I mean. I guarantee you, I asked 99 or SU fans, football fans, before the season, and 99 out of 99. I don't know why I went 99, but 99 out of 99 would
About
not know who.
44.
Fine, 44 out of 44 would not know who Tyreek Hill was entering this season, and that's no disrespect. He's a freshman. He's wasn't a high level recruit. Wasn't expected to play at all. But that's the thing. Like Syracuse need this might be position one of need entering the portal right now.
Especially if
And
you don't have a quarterback, a good quarterback from the get-go.
well, I mean, yeah. And I don't know what's more shocking, the fact that Yasin Willis transferred or that Ricky Collins hasn't entered the transfer portal. As
Yeah.
we've hit another week, we're inching closer and closer to the portal opening in a little over a week. And Ricky Collins has not been active on social media at all in stating his intentions for this offseason. I don't know. If Syracuse fans find the roster next season and Ricky Collins is still on it, I don't know how happy that'll make them feel. So that'll be interesting, especially since, I mean, if Ricky Collins is staying, then why wasn't he playing the end of the year? I don't care what you say of how bad Ricky Collins played. He would have been a lot better than Joe Flaherty. And I don't want them to go into this rabbit hole again, yada yada yada, whatever. But that's that. And that's a fact. James Hurd, a linebacker, I think redshirt sophomore, was a transfer in Fran Brown's first year from West Virginia. He entered the transfer portal today. So that's a guy that got, I think, close to 20 tackles this season. So not a big loss, but another loss to the guy that got some playing time. And then we have to mention the big news. Elijah Robinson going to Texas A&M. Fran demoted him. This was someone that I was really excited about when Fran Brown brought his staff. Like when Fran was like, "All right, I'm going to get the Avengers. I'm getting Jeff Nixon. I'm getting Elijah Robinson, Nick Williams, Robert Wright, a bunch of these guys. I'm keeping Campanelli." Like Elijah Robinson was like, "Okay." He was the interim head coach at Texas A&M after they fired Jimbo Fisher. Like this is the guy that got high level recruits to go to Aggieland. And then his defense, with all the talent they had a year ago, was awful.
It was never
Did
that
not.
good.
Now, and then this year was not that good again. Like, disappointing. And I'm tearing up. I don't know why, but I am tearing up. Not because of. Because I got something in my throat. Not because of Elijah Robinson leaving. But he is leaving. And now, and then Syracuse brought in a new addition to its defensive staff.
Josh, save him.
Well, I mean, I really, I think Robinson needed to go, right? I mean, it was pretty
Yes.
clear that it wasn't a good fit, and he actually gets, somewhat of an upgrade here because he goes from Syracuse to A&M, and while he's not going to be the defensive coordinator, he's going to be the defensive line coach, which is the position that Fran Brown had especially picked out for him for next season. So, you know, I think that the defense obviously needs some work, but I think I want to get back to the Yasin Willis hitting the portal. And, you know, maybe a little bit of a bizarre take here, but I was very high on him. And, you know, Fran said earlier in the year that he was the best player on the team. I think this is a more impactful transfer than when Trevor Peña left last year. And I know Peña's was a little bit later, but he was replaceable. And I thought you saw that he was replaced pretty well. I mean, Gill, Ross Simmons, and Jonte Cook were all solid contributors on offense. There really wasn't a misstep in the wide receiving room. You know, they had obviously a big issue at quarterback this year, but I really think this Willis transfer is very bad news, because you were looking at, you know, Steve coming back, Yasin coming back. Okay, you're literally right back at the Clemson game. You know, you're 3-1 again. You got your two guys back that got you to a 3-1 start. And all of a sudden now, you know, Yasin's gone, and, you know, Steve will obviously be back, but, you know, you lose your best player on offense. I mean, the head coach said it himself, you know, this is a big blow. So if Fran can't go out and get someone to replace him, that's a major concern. You know, I'm obviously concerned about what they end up doing. You know, they, like you said, this should be the top position in need, because running back is very important, as much as Jeff Nixon likes to not run the ball. Or, yeah, I mean, we've seen it. But, you know, I think Willis going is a bad omen for possibly things to come. I mean, you said, you know, the no starters, and now your best one leaves. So I think these next 2 weeks will be interesting for sure.
Yeah, it will be. And I think you're right. The receiver room did everything it could, and I really would want to know why Willis is leaving, because, you know, he has a statement and he says, oh, for growth and whatnot, which that's what everybody says. I would love to know what his real reasoning would be. And I do wonder if it was just a, you know, traumatically bad season and he doesn't want to really go back to that, because he's worried that if Angeli isn't ready to go, that it could be a repeat. That certainly could be in his thinking. Last thing to hit on, we hit on Syracuse men's lacrosse schedule last week. It's a loaded schedule. And Syracuse women's lacrosse, I mean, I don't know if they one-upped it, but, I mean, they ran out a really tough schedule. I mean, the ACC is so competitive in women's lacrosse. And, Griffin, this will be no breeze by for Syracuse women's lacrosse in their first year with a new head coach.
The Reggie Thorpe era has started, and it starts with
Maryland. Then UNC.
Yeah, wow, that's as much as I can say. You don't play non-conference opponents first. You do, but, like, it's not an easy non-conference opponent. You play Maryland, who, I mean, you know the Terrapins. If they're going to be good in anything, it's these weird sports like lacrosse. And I don't
lacrosse
really
isn't
know.
A weird sport? What do you mean?
not that, but I'm saying, like, the non-powerhouse.
Non-rev, we like to call.
Yeah. We love lacrosse. And Syracuse opened with Maryland last season. Also, this year's game is going to be in the Dome. Last year was in College Park. They lost by 6. But this is a Maryland team that, like, had some good success, you know. Went pretty far in the Big Ten tournament, lost to Northwestern, I believe, in the final. And then won a game in the NCAA tournament. So, like, it's a good Maryland team. I don't really know what the expectations of this team should be. But, I mean, you play Northwestern again. Yale is always a really good team. And then Loyola, I mean, your only kind of easy non-conference game is UAlbany, you could say, maybe. And then you play Cornell.
The great games are good,
but, like, you play Cornell and UAlbany on the road. Like, those are two games that, like, if they're in the Dome, then, like, okay, they might be a little easier. But going on the road to Cornell, like, it's never fun going to Ithaca, like, making that drive. And then it's probably going to be snowy and cold. Even if the game is in the end of March, like it is March 31st, like, that could be a snow game where playing outside, you get slow and you fall apart. Going to UAlbany, that's not going to be fun. Also, those are games that are going to be tough. ACC is always good. And then, you know, maybe this is the year that Syracuse can beat Boston College, or maybe not. I mean, that game's being played in the football stadium, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, for the women's side, I got that Yale game circled about midway through the season. They get to invite Yale to the Dome. They lost to him twice last year, and I think that first loss was kind of where the switch kind of flipped on the season. They went 2-4 the rest of the way after they lost to Yale the first time, and then they went to the NCAA tournament and lost to him again. But it felt like that game kind of just gutted them because they went and lost to Virginia Tech. Then they got destroyed by Boston College at home. And I think that's where you kind of saw the writing was on the wall that Kayla Traynor was probably not going to be back because the team underperformed yet again. And then for the men's side, I mean, I think this is a gauntlet of a schedule as well. But I think this is the year they could do it, Griff. I think they could win the national title this year. It's Spallina's senior season. I feel like the momentum's high. They got, you know, a tough schedule. I think they win some games. I think they make a run, man. This could be the year.
Yeah, John. I mean, you had your bye week last week, but I was saying that it's championship or bust. Win a championship or bust, and it'll be fun to track this team as always.
It
Both
will
teams.
be. It's starting to set in for me that I won't be here to talk about it, which sucks because it's going to be an exciting lacrosse season, as it is, as it always
You
is.
won't be here to talk about it because you're going to be in net for Syracuse, I heard.
Oh, is that the rumor?
Yeah, I've heard that they're signing you to a 1-year deal. You're taking McCool's spot. You're reporting to training camp next week.
I mean, we'd have to negotiate an NIL. I'd want
Well,
some Dunkin' Donuts, maybe, or something, maybe
Dunkin'
some Coors
Donuts.
Light. These are not sponsorships of the Ocean Avenue podcast. These are just things I enjoy. Coors Light NIL would be nice. I go there enough where I feel like I've earned NIL endorsement. Griffin can relate to that.
Yes, I can. We did mention last year that we were gonna get a sponsor on the pod. Someone's been a little lacking. We used to have a sponsor,
Years
someone's
ago.
years ago, back in the day. It's been a long couple winters since then. You mentioned NIL, AJ, and you also mentioned, I wonder why Jacen Willis could be leaving, and
Well,
I could think of
yes.
a couple hundred thousand reasons why.
Yes. Yep.
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 Couple,
I
maybe
didn't.
a
I That
million.
didn't cross my mind actually.
I
Now
wouldn't say a
that
million reasons why, but a couple
you
hundred
never know.
thousand.
Yeah. That didn't cross my mind at first, but yeah, you bring up an excellent point. NIL certainly. I was assuming that Syracuse was catching up in the NIL game.
Maybe
Uh,
like
like
they're
Penn.
saving it. Maybe they're saving their money. Maybe they're saving it for, you know, a big class. They are just saving like $2 million a year, and then, you know, the time is right where they have their schedule that they had like last season where they can win 10 games, and
Yeah.
they just empty the clip and they just go out and get a bunch of 5 stars, and it's Calvin Russell's senior year and Syracuse wins the national title and Griffin's in
All right,
shambles to see.
Josh. Let's bring it back to reality. AJ, they might be catching up to like Rutgers in Maryland or like
Maybe.
Cal, maybe.
Yeah.
Rutgers
I
doesn't have a 5-star recruit.
That is true.
Syracuse
All right.
does.
Sorry, they might be catching up to Baylor or maybe not Baylor level Minnesota. I think that's a
Yeah.
good comp to like
Maybe.
Syracuse's NIL.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see what happens with Yasin Willis' future. And of course, Syracuse men's basketball. The next game is not until New Year's Eve against Clemson. So be on the lookout for that one. Be on the lookout for the Ocean Avenue podcast in 2026. Enjoy the holiday season, everyone. Hope it's a safe and happy one for everyone. That'll do it for this episode of the Ocean Avenue podcast. It's a fun one. A lot of debate, some Griffin Bloomstein rants, which are always good. That is why we're tuning in. Josh is shaking his head. He wasn't a fan of it. Josh, get used to it. They come up every now and then. And now, in terms of old episodes, Cooper Boardman, I'm going to reference that interview a few times. I think it was a great conversation. You should go back and listen to that one wherever you get your podcast or at WAAR.org. Until then, we will see you guys next year.